Welcome to Always Holdin' Smallville. On this podcast, we talk about each and every episode of the Young Superman show that ran from 2001 to 2011 on the WB and the CW. I'm your host, Zach Moore, and with me is in the room this time. This is the first time we've done this. We've got Mr. Lance Lasser.
What's up?
And Mr. Mike DeMonte.
Hi.
Oh. Hi.
This is the room where it happens.
Yes. So this is, you know, in older podcasts, another podcast I've done, I've tried this before. It's a kind of a different experience because you're like sitting here talking to each other.
Yeah.
So if we sound different, that's why we sound different. And the conversation is just going to go with the flow. So we're not talking about Smallville today, because who wants to talk about that? We're talking about Justice League, which came out this past week. Crowning achievement of the DC Cinematic Universe. It's been a long road to Justice League. It's hard to go into this. Okay, this is a Superman special because Superman is in it. People are like, you can talk about Suicide Squad? No, Superman was not in Suicide Squad. You know why? Because they killed him off in Batman v Superman, Dawn of Justice. But anyway, this movie was much better. I like Justice League, just off the top. Apparently, it's sitting at 39% as of this recording on Rotten Tomatoes.
Which doesn't make any sense.
I'm not a big Rotten Tomatoes conspiracy theorist, but I'm starting to get there because I've never liked Rotten Tomatoes, to be honest. Because it creates this groupthink mentality where it's like, oh, bro, did you see what the score is of Rotten Tomatoes? It's like, see something for yourself, right?
Yeah.
I mean, when did Rotten Tomatoes start, Mike? Do you remember?
I don't know, but people always say, well, the Rotten Tomatoes scores, and I always cut them off. And it's
same,
because like, so
it's so annoying.
Yeah, it's so annoying. People are saying, like, before a movie comes out, oh, it's scoring this Rotten Tomatoes already. And it's like, you're saying that this whole groupthink mentality, you know, I really think that's kind of what's hurting currently Justice League's box office. You know, because people are too dumb to think for themselves, and they want to be easily influenced.
They want to be told what to think.
Exactly. They want to be told what to think and what to watch. And little arbitrary scores on an internet website is going to dictate that.
Yeah, and it's a pass or fail grade, and then it gets aggregated. So it's not even like people are like typing in, like, on a scale of 100, I would give it a 70. Like, no, it's like yes, no, yes, no. And then critically it's getting panned, but the fans seem to really enjoy it. Mm-hmm. And that's a good win for DC because their cinematic universe has not gone according to plan.
That's an understatement.
And so we'll trace it back here. So Batman Begins started everything in 2005. You know, Chris Nolan, he relaunched Batman. That was like the beginning of the modern era of DC films. Before that, you had, you know, Steel and Batman and Robin. And Catwoman in 2004. What the hell? They were making Catwoman and Batman Begins at the same time.
Yeah.
Can you imagine?
Oh, my gosh. So
you get Batman Begins, and it's my favorite of the Chris Nolan trilogy. Do we all agree on that now? Didn't want to even come around, right?
Yeah, I think it's the one with the least amount of flaws. Mm-hmm. And I call it's
the least
pretentious
of the three as well.
That's true.
So, and Dark Knight is great. Rises is its own conversation. But anyway, it's a good trilogy. It's a good trilogy, but the problem is this was a critically acclaimed trilogy. It was very financially successful. The problem is Chris Nolan was like, no one else can use Batman. Batman exists in his own universe. No one else can use him. Like, so they're like, oh, because WB's like, oh, but wait, we want to make a cinematic universe. We want to do this. And he's like, nope, can't do it. So they made Superman Returns, which was a sequel to Superman 2, kind of. A vague sequel. And, you think Smallville's got problems. Bryan Singer, Kevin Spacer, and Superman Returns. Can't wait till we get to that one between season 5 and 6. But anyway, gosh.
Yeah, because who knows where they'll be
By the time we get to it, Kevin Spacer might be in a very different place than he is right now by the time we get to Superman Returns.
Well, it depends on the time. He could be in one place or many. Anyone get that?
Yes.
That's Heath Ledger. So Superman Returns came out in 2006. It didn't make as much money as they wanted it to, so they kind of stalled on that. But Batman was rolling, so they just kind of rolled with Batman. And I feel like, you know, if they had a Superman series going concurrently with the Batman series, they might have like forced Batman and Superman together. Like,
if
you know what,
both,
Chris Nolan,
especially if they were both successful, they would have probably had no choice.
Right. It's like, well, you know what, Chris Nolan, that's great and all, but you're fired. We're going to bring on Brett Ratner to direct Batman 3 or something, you know, just to force the world's finest team up or something. But that didn't happen. So Superman Returns kind of floating out there. Then they launched Green Lantern. They wanted Green Lantern to be like the Iron Man.
Yes.
And then see, I think if Green Lantern had taken off, they would have still salvaged Superman. Like, they would have, like, hey, they got Brandon Routh still on contract. Let's try to make this happen. I don't know. That's my feeling because this is 2011. It's only there's still time at that point, and the Dark Knight trilogy hadn't been over. But then when Green Lantern failed, and then Chris Nolan was like, you can't use Batman, and Batman was only Batman for a year, and he retired because his girlfriend died, and then he ran off with his new girlfriend because that's what Batman does.
Apparently.
In Chris Nolan's mind. DC had nothing. They had nothing. So they had tried. You know, like before Marvel started any of this stuff, they were planning. They're supposed to be Justice League in 2007.
That's true.
You know, George Miller, director of Babe, Pig in the City. did he do the first Babe or was the second Babe?
I don't know.
I don't know if he did both Babes. I never saw the second Babe.
I didn't either.
But it sounds ridiculous when you say Babe, Pig in the City. So he was going to direct Justice League, and it all fell through because of the writer's strike of 07. Then they had costumes. They had Megan Gale is going to be Wonder Woman. We've seen that. She was in, I don't know what else she was in. She was in Mad Max Fury Road, had a small part. You know, there you are, but it was going to be a different Batman, a different Superman, which I'm like, what? But then I'm like, well, maybe that would have been better because they could have just
they could have had their own separate universe
and just done multiverse, and then had the Crisis on Infinite Earth, the movie that we're all waiting for,
yeah,
which will never happen. So
no, but we're going to get Crisis on Earth X.
We're going to Crisis on Earth X this fall on the CW.
Yeah.
There's a 53rd. Did you see the new trailer?
Yeah.
As of this recording, the new trailer just hit for Crisis on Earth X, and. Why is Harrison Wells the Reverse Flash again? You see those pictures? And they're not. It's like, I guess they couldn't get Matt Lesher was unavailable. So it's like, hey, Eobard Thawne back in time and replace Harrison Wells on this Earth, too.
Yeah.
We're paying him to be in this episode. Make him be Reverse Flash. Yeah. Anyway, I'm looking forward to that. But
he's in a funny, like, Netflix, like, movie about a teacher where Keegan Michael Key is the principal. It's like a documentary thing. It's funny.
You know what he's also in? Yogi the Bear. He's the park ranger.
Really?
Yeah. Eobard Thawne, what's the, Harrison Wells. I can't believe I'm blanking on the actor's name. He plays Dr. Wells on The Flash.
Yeah, no, I have no idea his name.
Ed,
yeah. No, is it Ed?
Yeah.
I thought it was Boy, Girl in a Pizza Parlor.
No, that's something else. Two guys and a girl in a pizza place.
Tom Cavanaugh.
Yeah.
That's right. Go. Anyway, Yogi the Bear. So CW does this stuff right. You know, I mean, like, Smallville was its own thing. And then it ended, and then Smallville was the Dark Knight trilogy of the CW universe. You know, it started it all. It was a glorious success, and they closed it off. But then, you know, they started with Arrow, then they added The Flash, then they added Legends of Tomorrow, then they absorbed Constantine from NBC, and then they absorbed Supergirl from CBS, right? They're launching Black Lightning, so they're building it. They're doing the Marvel model for television, and sometimes the seasons get overstuffed. But say what you will, the superhero crossovers are always real good.
They are really
good. And it's like comic books come to life. They're very fun. So they still got that going right on TV. But meanwhile, over DC, they had nothing. So they had Man of Steel, and they're like, all right, are we going to try to make this fit the Dark Knight universe? It's like, yeah, I mean, so if it's like 1 foot in one world, 1 foot in the other, I think that's what held it back. If they had gone full Zack Snyder, it would have been fine.
I agree with that.
If they had gone full Chris Nolan, it would have been fine, right? But I'm just saying, like, they had 1 foot in each world, and that kind of held it back, and that's why it had to. And I liked Man of Steel. We all liked Man of Steel, right?
I like Man of Steel.
I wasn't a fan.
We all liked Man of Steel. Well, I mean,
I didn't hate it. I just,
I didn't love it. Like I wanted to love it, and it's like, you know, it's like I think the nerd terminology I've heard on the internet now is called Phantom Menaced. You Phantom Menaced yourself, and they're like, yeah, that was good. Yeah,
that's fair.
I like that.
That's pretty accurate. Phantom Menaced.
It's like, oh, it's not so bad. No, it is, but it's Phantom Menaced is still the best prequel. But that's for a Star Wars podcast for another day, which I'm never gonna do.
Yep.
But. So there we are. In 2013, they launched Man of Steel, and it's divisive. You know, it's like people don't, you know, people, it's okay. It makes money, but it doesn't make, like, it doesn't go like $1 billion or anything like that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So the biggest problem is they didn't know what to do after Man of Steel. So they're like, let's add Batman. It's like, is that what you want to do? And it's like, I don't know. Would you guys have added Batman or made a Man of Steel 2?
I would have made a Man of Steel 2.
What about you, Mike?
You mean like what they did with Batman versus Superman, like first?
Yes.
Well, I mean, if I think they.
So you got Man of Steel. What do you do next? You add Batman?
Yeah, you add Batman because if you want to build towards that universe.
But should you not just make a Superman sequel
that has Batman in it?
No, just make Man of Steel 2.
But how's that going to launch the universe?
Well, I was saying, take your time. Okay.
They're already playing catch up.
Well, why don't you do this? Why don't you make a Batman movie?
A separate one.
Then make a Wonder Woman movie. Mm-hmm. Then make a Green Lantern movie or something. Well, probably not. Make a Flash movie.
Or a Trinity movie at that point.
Oh, Trinity.
At that point, make a Trinity movie where they all converge in some sort of way. And then you would launch into Justice League. But the way that they did it, it didn't work. We saw that it didn't work. I mean,
well, they were so desperate to not do the Marvel. They wanted, there are two things, the problem here, that they see. So meanwhile, while DC,
well, yeah, we can't not talk about Marvel.
Well, why DC is, like, you know, stalling through. I mean, it's really, I mean, Green Lantern is kind of their fault. Although, in retrospect, Green Lantern isn't that bad. Actually, kind of, it arguably might be better than Superman Returns on retrospect. I'm
it
not
is better
sure,
than Superman Returns.
But I think it might be. But that, what, you know, they try. Oh, and don't, let's not forget Jonah Hex, which by the way, is the worst superhero movie ever made. So, I mean, that's up for debate. But that came out, I think it was 2011, I think it came out.
Jonah Hex
with Megan Fox. Good God. And Thanos.
Thanos was in it?
Yeah. Cable. Oh. So, Brolin was Jonah Hex. He was almost Batman too. That, yeah, I'm glad Affleck was Batman for the two movies that we got him in. Yeah. But we'll get to that. So that's DC's problem. They're trying to catch up. They're like, oh crap, we want to catch up, and we want to do what Marvel's doing, and we wasted too much time. So let's just throw it. They just start freaking out, and they like put Batman in it, put Wonder Woman in it, put Doomsday in it, Lex Luthor. Ah, it's like, no, you slow it up. So they're two movies in. And they've already done all this stuff. They've rushed through all these great stories. They could have done The Death of Superman. They could have done so much. Yeah. You know, they could have done a true World's Finest movie. Could have Joker and Lex Luthor on that. But it was frustrating because you love Batman v Superman, right?
You're Batman v Superman and Man of Steel were both divisive. And sometimes movies are, you know, when something is universally loved, you know, they're usually easy. Right, these movies, I think, were divisive for a reason. Just the thematically by nature, just the idea of having, you know, this very a darker Superman. What I did think they did well is they put the idea of how a Superman would be in a real world. I think they did that well. I'm not saying the movie was executed as properly as it should have been, but just that idea, I think that was good to play with. I know everyone always goes back to the model, the Marvel model.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say Martha.
No. That's it. And you know what? Marvel did start the universe first. They started first. They did individually at a time, and they built up to the Avengers. DC was kind of doing it backwards, right? That doesn't necessarily mean it's wrong. It's just different. And I think people are just so used to the model of Marvel. Anything different from it is kind of...
Well, I think it doesn't matter how you do it as long as it's good. And the problem was... It was not good.
That's the thing.
It was not what people wanted. It wasn't that... Can you just... I mean, Suicide Squad is one of the worst movies I've ever seen. Like, I don't even know why that was made. And just ignore that. Just please never go back to that. Recast the Joker, you know, please.
Again.
Assuming this universe continues. I don't want Jared Leto. Crispin Glover would be great. Huh? George McFly. Willard. Huh? You know what I'm talking about. And Willem Dafoe. But he's already Aquaman's advisor who got cut out of Justice League. So we don't know. But...
That's right, he did.
I know, right?
I forgot about that.
He was cast as well. Iris West was cut out of this movie. There's lots of things got cut from this movie, but so here you are, and it's like, okay, we made Batman vs Superman. There were several deal breakers for Batman vs Superman. One was the Martha scene, right? They built up this whole conflict of Batman vs Superman. You know what? They won me over. Like, you know what, Batman, you're right. Superman does need to be stopped. He's an unstoppable, dangerous force. I'm totally on his side. And he's like, oh, our moms have the same name. It's cool. And we've gone over that discussion. He's a human being. He's a family. All that stuff. I get it. But it's an easy – people are going to make fun of that to the
forever.
End of time.
Yeah, I don't think – people are making fun of it, but it's not an easy – I don't think that was an easy out in terms of the resolution. I thought it was actually kind of smart how they tie that together.
They spend like 2 hours building this up, and then like 1 minute it's over, you know? It just felt – it was very – and I didn't like Lex Luthor's orchestration of them fighting. I wanted them to actually – you know, have a real conflict, not be this manufactured thing by Lex.
Yeah.
And I didn't like the interpretation of Lex, you know?
Oh, yeah.
Although it was a valid interpretation. I will give it that. He was the head of LexCorp, you know? So it's a valid interpretation, but it's not what I wanted. It's not what people wanted. It's not what we wanted to see.
Mm-hmm.
So there was that, you know, killing Superman, like, in the second movie.
Yeah.
Because then it's like,
because
I got to bring him back.
That needs to be treated with the right amount of veritas. Like, it's
did you say veritas?
I sure did.
This is a Smallville podcast. We can be throwing around words like that.
Gravitas is the word I was looking for, but anyway, so like that just needs the proper weight. Like that needed its own thing, but they put it in with all this other stuff, which kind of kills any sort of like value that you would have for that moment. It's a seminal moment in comics history when Superman died. Like
that should be a trilogy.
Exactly.
That should be a whole trilogy. That should be Superman trilogy right there.
Yeah, exactly.
You know?
It should be its own thing. But they rushed it in and filled it in with this Batman v Superman thing that should have been something else entirely.
Dawn of Justice.
Yeah, that's where the mess comes in with this.
So, I mean,
I get that argument, but I think, you know, from what they were saying, everything was building towards this Justice League about being about hope and optimistic. And I guess the death of Superman had to help with that.
They didn't establish that Superman, people like, the problem is like, when Superman's dead, everything's gone to hell. And, oh, people hated Superman in the last movie. Like, the world's so much worse. No, it was terrible before.
Yeah.
Well, everybody hated him.
Well, maybe this is showing the world how much he was missed.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
the end, you know, Bruce Wayne's speech, I thought it was a very telling part of the movie.
Mm-hmm.
Just kind of wrap everything together. And Justice League did something similar, the speech at the end. It kind of followed that same formula.
I wonder if that was a rewrite. Like we gotta fit all these extra scenes we filmed with Henry Cavill in his face. But we'll talk about that. So here we are, like, so just to run it down, me personally, Man of Steel was okay, I liked it. Batman v Superman, like, the extended version at least made more sense, but ultimately it whiffed on too many big things for me. I just didn't like how it all came out, so that was a big problem. Suicide Squad was awful. Suicide Squad was terrible. Wonder Woman was great. Wonder Woman is, I think everyone can agree, like, if you got a problem with Wonder Woman, you're just a misogynist. I mean, like, I don't know what your problem is, so that's a great movie. And I love the Captain America movie, and I'm not sure which one's better. Honestly, like, I haven't rewatched the first Avengers since I've seen Wonder Woman.
Yeah.
I mean, they're very similar. I mean, that's why, you know, Wonder Woman was supposed to be World War II, but they're like, Marvel did World War II, let's do World War I. Again, reactionary, even though DC was first to the masses out there. They're like, oh, Marvel did, you're ripping off Marvel. No, you're not ripping off Marvel. But, so then we came to Justice League. So here we are. You know, I think going into it, I had literally no expectations because I was, like, frustrated. I mean, you heard for years. The problem is these movies are in production for so long. So many stories come out about them. Like Batman, think about this. Man of Steel came out in 2013. It was done in, like, 2012.
Yes.
Like, it was finished, like, at the end of 2012. And then Batman v Superman was ready for, like, a spring 2015 release or something. It would have been, but then, like, I think Ben Affleck got hurt or something, right? And he hurt his leg, and they had to postpone. So they're like, okay, let's postpone it for a year. So they're sitting on this movie for a year, which is even more frustrating. They didn't analyze some of these problems and fix them because, like, clearly the re-editing of the extended cut helped some. You could have cut out some other stuff, like the nightmare sequence, as they call it.
That would have been a really cool DVD bonus.
Yeah.
The nightmare sequence.
But you know how much money they wasted on that? Like, it was awesome. Like, make it a Marvel short, right? Like a Marvel one-shot, right, on the DVD. But it's like, that's a cool sequence, and I love badass Superman. But it made it, for a movie that was already too long and confusing, it didn't need that. And then Wonder Woman watching the viral marketing for Justice League on her laptop, which I cannot get over. It's literally the movie just stops, and she's just, like, clicking on links. Yeah. And it's just... So those could have been taken out. And by the way, those have no payoff. They serve no purpose because since they retooled Justice League, I'm sure in Zack Snyder's original cut, which we'll be talking about forever unless they release it. Now, there's already petitions. I've signed the petition because I do want to see it. Like, I'll buy both because I'm just be very interested. Because now what we have now, we have a modern-day Superman 2 situation. You know, there was two directors, one got fired. Back then, people didn't know all this stuff. There wasn't a 24-hour news cycle of news entertainment. But, you know, Zack Snyder, that's what I'm saying. These movies are in production for so long. We know so much about them going in. It's hard to go in, like, unobjectively or objectively or subjectively or whatever, whichever word is appropriate. It's hard to do that. So you go in there and you know that Zack Snyder, or the people like us, we know that Zack Snyder, you know, made this movie. And allegedly, it was, like, a lot longer, and WB didn't like it, and they were going to do reshoots, and then he left the project because, you know, his daughter committed suicide. And that's heavy stuff, and, like, you would think that would silence the Snyder haters, but, I mean, it's the internet, right? So people are still jerks. And then Joss Whedon shows up. I mean, like, are you kidding me? Joss Whedon's going to step in? Like, that, I remember, like, when that broke, we were all, like, texting each other, and we're like, is this an April Fool's joke? What is this? Like, it's exactly what you would find. Like, oh, yeah, Zack Snyder off Justice League. Joss Whedon going to finish the film. Yeah. We shoot half of it. You're like, are you kidding me? That's stupid.
Like, I legit thought it was a joke. I was like, this can't be real. And, like, y'all were like, it is. I was like, no, you're screwing with me. Like,
I don't even remember what time of year it was, but it was not April. So the circumstances were terrible for Zack Snyder leaving. And then whenever you have one director's vision and another guy comes in, totally different. The guy from Marvel, again, the guy who directed the Avengers. Mm-hmm. And you can't escape from the Marvel comparisons.
Yeah. I just want to stop for a second and interrupt something. You know, I don't get it. Why people act like the Avengers is like the holy grail superhero movie.
It's the fifth best superhero movie of all time.
It's not that good. Like, the first... No, the setup is great. The beginning is great, how they all come together, and then the rest of the movie... every superhero movie.
But that started it, though.
That's the
thing. Think before the Avengers, when that happened.
That's true. They were the first one to kind of
have
that.
And the fact, and the
now,
fact
now, that Age of Ultron is not good.
It's not.
Remember I fell asleep during
it? You legitimately fell asleep during Age of Ultron. It didn't miss anything.
Yeah, I watched it again the other day. It was on TBS.
You fall asleep again?
I did. It was late. But.
Yeah. But the thing is, like, but with Avengers, the fact that it worked and, like, the plan worked has a lot to do with it. There's something to be said about, like, you know, like, the first, like, the first big success of something, or the first one, like, you know, like Superman the movie is still number one, because it's like, without it, there's no other things. Mm-hmm. And then the same thing with, like, going forward without Avengers, like, you know, like, there's, you know, there can't be a Justice League. Yeah. So, like, there has to, you know, without Jordan, there's no LeBron.
Well, it could have been a Justice League, because, like I said, they were going to make one before all this stuff. They could have done all, even if it would have been bad. I mean, yeah. Like, at least we were first. You know, it's like the Astros. They won the World Series this year. Go Astros.
Yeah.
They won before the Rangers, thank God. The Rangers won the World Series twice, and I was rooting so hard against them.
I know, and they choked away one of them.
Oh, yeah.
Cruz, man.
Oh, man. Inside baseball, literally. But anyway, it's like, you want to be the first one. And I don't know why there has to be a rivalry. I don't really care. I mean, I like Star Trek and Star Wars, right? Yeah. I like some Marvel. I'm mostly a DC guy, but like some Marvel stuff. Yeah. Like Captain America. I like Spider-Man, you know?
I still like Spider-Man.
I could do without, like, all these other characters for the most part. Like, the Fantastic Four, I don't really care. Mm-hmm. The X-Men, I like Hugh Jackman as Wolverine. You know, but it's like, I don't really have an emotional attachment to these other characters. So you cannot escape the Marvel comparisons. But I wish, I don't know, it's hard. I wish I could go in some alternate universe and see what it would be like if they actually made that Justice League movie in 2007. Like, where would we be now? None of these people would ever be – Henry Cavill would have never been Superman. Ben Affleck would have never been Batman, which is terrible because I think they're perfect in the roles.
I agree. Well, see, the thing – like, and I've said this for years now. Like, the thing that Marvel has going for them is that they have Marvel Studios. They have, like – a separate thing that just does that. Mm-hmm. You know, Warner Brothers doesn't have that. It's like, so that's part of, you know, the reason why there's all this mess with the DC universe, on film, at least. Because they don't have a separate, like, entity just working on the comic book movies. If they did, I think it would either rival or, like, blow Marvel out of the water. But they don't. And so that's why it's, like, all kind of mucked up.
But they don't need that. Like, WB's like, yeah, whatever, we got Harry Potter, we got, what else do they have? Like, I don't even know what old franchises they have right now. But see, when we were kids, it was like, there was a Batman movie, like, every few years, and that was the thing. It was like Batman movie. There wasn't any Marvel movies, you know? There was like...
It wasn't anything.
There was like, oh, hey, are they going to make that Superman Lives movie? You know, like, the Nicolas Cage? Like, that was always rumored for us as kids. And then there was like, maybe one day they'll make a Spider-Man movie, right? Yeah. And that changed everything. But now it's oversaturated, too. So I think, all that to say, that's all the backup, that's all the BS build-up, the Marvel style. So now we can actually get, now we've done the appropriate Marvel style conversation. Now we can actually talk about the movie. So going into Justice League, like, first of all, I was like, I didn't like Batman v Superman that much. It was okay, but the more I thought about it, like, the least I liked it. I Phantom Menace myself. I think I gave that like a B or a B minus. Then I ended up giving it a B plus in the Ultimate Edition. I don't know what I would give it today. I don't know. But anyway, going to Justice League, I'm like, all right, they have to resurrect Superman. There's a Flash TV show on that I like, which has gotten less good as the years have gone on. But
especially this season.
Hey! Friends!
I haven't watched season 4 of the Flash, to be honest with you. I'm trying to keep up with Arrow and Supergirl.
Arrow's fantastic this season.
I like Legends of Tomorrow, but it's very frivolous and, like, it's comic book fun. I enjoy how absurd it is, but, like, if there's, like, that's a show you can stop watching without a problem.
Oh, yeah, it's super absurd this season.
And The Flash just got really repetitive and really CW-y, and I don't know, I haven't even watched season 4, but apparently you guys have not told me positive things. So.
It's what you just said, times 10. Repetitive and CW, like, turned all the way up.
Oh, yeah, it's at 11.
So I was like, screw you, how dare you cast a new Flash? I'm going to hate this Flash character. Rah! And I was like, Cyborg, he's not even on the Justice League. What happened to Martian Manhunter or Green Lantern or these guys, you know? Oh, he was on the Smallville Justice League. So Smallville did it first yet again.
Mm-hmm.
Rest in peace, Lee Thompson Young.
Yep, the famous Jet Jackson.
So
we'll get there.
We'll get there in about 5 years, apparently, at this rate. Well, he's in season 5, so we'll get there in like a year or two. So those are strikes against it, and it's like, do I even care? I don't know. But then Wonder Woman came out, and it was really good. And I'm like, all right, you know what? You know what? I like Ben Affleck is the perfect live-action Batman. He is the definitive live-action Batman to me. I want to see him again. Gal Gadot's great. This is basically Wonder Woman 2, so that's great.
Mm-hmm.
They'll have to bring back Henry Cavill as Superman. So I'm like, all right, just show me what you got, movie. All right? So I went in there just completely apathetic. Not apathetic, but like just at zero expectation. Mm-hmm. You know, so like just blank slate. And then
mean, they, clean
they,
slate?
They clean the ultimate duel for the Master Thief. God's sake. It's very quotable movies. So you go in there, and it totally messed with that clean slate in my mind there. I don't even know where I was going. That's what. So they fire Junkie XL, or he gets dismissed, or something weird, right? And then who are they bringing? Danny Elfman. Dan the Man Elfman comes in, and he brings in the Danny Elfman Batman theme. Have you seen this interview with him? And he's like, I don't know who was interviewing him, but he's on video, and it's so funny. Like, so are you going to use the Hans Zimmer themes? He's like, no. He's like, we're going to use the Batman theme. And they're like, oh, you mean that? He's like, no. There's only been one Batman theme. I'm like, yeah, you tell him, Danny Elfman. And he's like, and we're going to mix in some John Williams there. I'm like, you know, like, yes, that's what we want, you know? So, and I honestly, I think he should have gone even further. Like, he should have gone full out, like, da-da-da-da-da. And there are a couple times in the movie where he does. And there's a little bit of John Williams when Superman first comes back. You hear, like, da-da-da-da-da-da, and it's kind of twisted and evil. And then when he comes back at the very end to spoiler. By the way, this is spoilers. I don't know why you'd be listening to this. I haven't watched Justice League. And for God's sake, go watch it. It needs your help. Justice League needs you.
I'm going again on Thursday. Taking my mom. Two tickets will be purchased.
I went to a free screening, and I went back and saw it again to give my money. Because I've seen it twice. Lance has seen it once. And Demonte, you've seen it?
I've seen it once. I went to the advanced screening Monday, and then I'm going to go again this week. Cool. So
you haven't paid for a ticket yet. You're part of the problem. So that was great. And I'm like, yes, because music is a huge part of these characters. And I feel like that the Batman theme should be Danny Elfman for everything, and the Superman theme should be John Williams for everything. And, you know, Hans Zimmer did some cool stuff with Batman, but nothing as iconic as da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. So that already got me excited. I was like, oh, wait, now I'm back. And then I heard little parts of maybe his Flash theme in there, but that's probably just Danny Elfman, like, ripping himself off, like, everything sounds the same. So that was exciting to me. So that already got me. That honestly, more than anything else, that got me excited, like the soundtrack and all that. So I go in there, and you know what? It was actually pretty good. I enjoyed it. I didn't expect to, but I didn't expect to like not enjoy it. But I had a good time with this movie. Bottom line, I enjoyed it, and I recommend it to people because people ask me about Batman or Superman. They're like, would you recommend it? And I'd be like, I mean, if you really like Batman and Superman, I guess you should see it. It felt like more an obligation. Like, when I saw that again, I was like, I better go see this again. Sure. Justice League, I saw it again. I was like, yes, I want to see this again. It's great. And it's obviously a very cut-and-paste movie. You can tell what Joss Whedon parts there were and what Zack Snyder parts there were. And then you can see online all these, like, people are, like, breaking it down now. Look at these shots and these shots. And it's very obvious, like, even the reshoots, right?
I think when you look at it from a directorial standpoint, I think so. But the story, like you said, it's a very simple story. Mm-hmm. But I think it's pretty fluid. You know, like there's some specific lines, like dialogue and scenes, where it's more lighter and like, oh, that's Joss Whedon. But the story itself...
Definitely something bleeding.
Yeah, they did a really good job. Like, from my writer, it's 80% of film is still Snyder's and 20% is allegedly.
When they say that, it's probably like 60%.
Yeah. But either way, if the majority is still him, I think they did a good job of weaving in the visions together where it doesn't seem like it's Fantastic Four.
Yeah.
You know?
Oh, man. That was... And again, that was another movie. It got, like 7% on Rotten Tomatoes? Not that bad.
It was not that bad.
Like, the first half of that, I was like... This is a really good movie. Uh-huh. Like, what happens here? And then that slate comes up, and it says 1 year later, like, this is what happened. This is what happened. So there's nothing like that going on in Justice League. And, you know, who knows what the real reasons are going behind the scenes with Zack Snyder leaving and all that. Yes, he had a family tragedy, but he totally could have come back and finished stuff, you know? I mean, I think he – I don't know.
It could have been – I mean, from what it seems like, the whole WB thing sounds like a very stressful situation.
Yeah, WB is firing directors left and right. I mean, it's like Disney over there.
So
like,
I can't imagine if my daughter committed suicide, I have to deal with that and then go to work and then have to deal with a bunch of suits down my neck. Sure. And micromanaging and second-guessing everything.
And I'm sure after the last one, they probably gave him free reign, you know? And then and after that reaction, like, okay, whoa, Zach, we're going to send some consultant in with you every day. And, you know, I get that. And that's tough, you know? It's hard to switch gears like that. Mm-hmm. It's like when Jeff Loeb, you know, he was his son, I believe, had leukemia or he had some disease like that. And he was a producer on Smallville and a writer. And then, you know, when his son passed away, he was like, guys, I can't do this anymore. So they bring in Joss Whedon, and it's very, you can totally see that. But what we've seen here, and the best way I could analyze, and we all liked it, right? Let's just get that. Yeah. We all liked it. We're all enjoyed it.
I always give my review in like one sentence. It's a fun superhero movie about hope and redemption. In one sentence, that's my review.
And Batman v Superman was a not fun superhero movie about hope and redemption.
Batman Superman was a not fun superhero movie. I would say more about
Martha.
About mythology, politics, religion, Martha. And Martha, I guess. Well, a lot of people have problems with the movies based on the tone. And
yeah.
Man of Steel, I had no problem with the serious tone that the universe started.
So
that
what was the deal breaker for you for Man of Steel? You didn't like, what was your deal breaker?
I just didn't like how they so many things.
Like Jonathan Kent, was that the
deal
breaker?
Yeah, they shoved so much of that down.
So that was my Martha moment and Batman was your Jonathan moment for Man of Steel. All right, so that's the thing. And I totally see that. I can see in and I call it the last two, but like Man of Steel and Batman v Superman, I see this more of a trilogy and Wonder Woman is this one-off random good thing and Suicide Squad is the opposite of that. Yes. You know, this one-off random horrible thing. And so in this trilogy, I can totally see there's all these deal breakers throughout the first two movies, right? I totally get that. But this one, I don't think there were. Like, I can point to no, like, this sucked, like, this one part. Like, can you believe they did this? You know, I can't say anything about Justice League that way. I have there are some questionable creative choices, and then, like he goes, like, for example, like, he goes looking for Aquaman, and then he finds out about the three boxes. Like, oh, you guys have boxes up here? Like, he should have, like, been investigating boxes. And then found Aquaman. That's just like story 101. Yeah. Like, what, I don't understand. And like, again, they took this movie apart and put it back together. Could they not have like changed that? Mm-hmm. You know. And it's interesting to see all these little threads. And Aquaman, I think, is the one a character that was underserved the most, because I liked all the characters, but I feel like so much of him was cut that I didn't feel like I got a good grasp on his character.
I think Aquaman was great in the movie. I think the only thing is everything they showed from him, they showed in the all the trailers.
My man.
So like, all right.
So yeah. No, it's like all those really cool Aquaman scenes we already saw before. So when we saw the movie, there really wasn't anything else in terms of Aquaman.
Well, it probably wasn't until they cut it all out.
But I'm so stoked to see a solo Aquaman movie. I think Jason Momoa was great. Me and my friends were talking about the other day.
He's all friends.
Well, we're all friends. But another group of friends were saying, he said his review was Justice League was great and Jason Momoa is the hottest dude on earth. And it's like, yeah, I can agree with that.
I don't know. Kenny Cal looked pretty good without a shirt off, I will say. Yeah, but that's the thing with Aquaman. Like, because there's no definitive Aquaman, right? You have the goofy Aquaman from Super Friends. You have, like, the King Arthur Aquaman with, like, the goatee and the hair and the hook hand and all that. Mm-hmm. You have the new Geoff Johns New 52 Aquaman, which is my favorite Aquaman, which is kind of a mix of both. You know, he's like, he looks like the goofy Aquaman, but he's serious. You know, mm-hmm. They don't overdo it. That was my complaint about Aquaman here, is like, they tried, like, he's hardcore. Yeah, he looks like a biker and he listens to rock music. He's drinking whiskey. He's making other guys pay for his drinks. And like, it's like, and what was the rock song to play when you go out into the ocean? And he throws the bottle down. It's like
AC/DC or something.
Yeah, something like that.
So over the top. It's compensating for like, oh, you think he's not cool? Well, check out, he's badass. He's Aquaman. Like, all right, whatever. I'm really looking forward to James Wan's Aquaman because Night Owl's going to be Ocean Master, and Dr. Chase Meridian is going to be his mom. Yeah. And I don't know who's going to play his human father, but and I guess Amber Heard is going to be Mera. Yeah. Mm-hmm. She was cool in the 5 minutes she was in the movie. Yeah. Like, again, like,
they made a big deal about her being in this movie, and then she was in it for, like, you know, like, not that long. Now, granted, like, it's better than What's-Her-Face from Batman v Superman, like, that people made such a big deal about her being in the movie.
Who?
Malone.
I ever thought it was Batgirl?
Oh, she got cut. Yeah, she got cut, too. She was only in the
Ultimate Edition. Yeah. She played Felicity Smoke.
Yeah, basically.
Yeah, they cut it so much, Aquaman, because Willem Dafoe, like we talked about, is supposed to be in there. And I
wish we would have gotten the scene of him going to get the Trident.
Like, yeah, because he's like, I'm going to need something from you.
Yeah, that's a big deal. Like, and then, like, they should have shown that, at least.
He's going to get the armor and the Trident, because it was my understanding there's a train, because, you know, we're doing this live.
Yeah.
we're not editing this out, we're just going to move on forward. The thing with Aquaman, had he never been to Atlantis before?
It seemed like it.
Because they're like, oh, you're finally here. And he's like, let's have a bunch of exposition about my past right now. What? Yeah.
My man.
I'm all right.
I always got the impression that he just kind of like show up as he pleases. You know, like,
I'm coming up here getting my life, man.
Yeah. hopefully the next movie will kind of explore that.
I thought that might have been is it going to be a prequel, like Wonder Woman, or is it going to be a sequel?
I don't know.
Because I feel like it has to be a sequel now. Yeah. Because, like, him and Mera, who were supposed to be married, like, don't even, like, know each other, apparently.
Not really, no.
And she was adopted. Like, I didn't even know. He's adopted. I don't even know what their relationship is. So I just feel like, out of all the characters,
it'll be a sequel that has lots of flashbacks, I'm sure.
Yeah. So anyway, I think. And I just didn't get a good grasp on his character. And I wasn't bad. But it was just, he was just kind of like the strong guy. And that's all. And he could, so you talk to fish. They just had to throw that in there.
They threw it in there a lot.
That I think probably one of my favorite things was the Bruce Wayne and Arthur Curry interactions. I thought those were great. Like the initial scene where he goes to recruit him.
He's more intimidated by Aquaman than Superman.
No, I thought that scene was very well done. Yeah. That was brilliant how he comes and he's talking to the community. Mm-hmm. Yeah, setting up the scene of this man who shows up with a tide, but he's not on a boat. Like,
King's tide.
I think
the King of Atlantis.
So much of the great dialogue, and even Batman Superman had great dialogue. Mm-hmm.
Chris Terrio,
yeah. You could tell which is Chris Terrio.
Oh, something's bleeding. Yeah, it's Joss Whedon.
Yeah.
Batman would never say that.
Agreed.
Coomer is fine in certain episodes. Okay, like The Flash. Let's move on to The Flash, right? I love The Flash in this movie. He's annoying sometimes, yeah. But he's kind of supposed to be. You know, like he's supposed to get under
this characterization of him was supposed to be annoying. He was more Wally West than he was Barry Allen. Mm. I wanted to hate Ezra Miller.
Yeah, we all did.
Yeah.
I wanted to hate him so badly. And, I, you know, to his credit, I did not. I still prefer Grant Gustin. That's still my Flash. But I did not hate Ezra Miller. On the record of saying that. So, you know,
They could have, like, dyed his hair red or blonde or something. Like, because that's the thing about, you know, back, see, Lance, before we included Jon Stewart at the table, right? Diversity was like, he's a blonde guy.
Yeah.
And a redhead guy. And a brunette guy with black hair. And a brunette guy with brown hair. That was diversity, right?
Yep.
You look at the original Justice League, and that's, like, what it is.
And
you know, we joke about that. I'm glad we've moved past that, you know.
Sort of.
We got Cyborg on the team, man.
Speaking of which.
Not getting into it.
Fist bump.
Not getting into it.
So, I didn't read much leading up to the film. Obviously, you know, just keeping up with news and all the rumors and stuff in terms of, like, review-wise. But the few things I saw, people were kind of complaining about Cyborg.
I was like, yeah.
But when I saw it, I was like, you know what? I was pleasantly surprised. They did a good job of kind of showing the whole kind of Frankenstein aspect to it.
Dr. Miles Dyson, yeah.
Yeah, and, like, I'm like, damn, I want to see more of him now.
Small alum Joe Morton. Yeah.
So I was surprised. I thought I was going to care about him the least.
Well, exactly. I thought we all going in this were like, okay, the Flash and Cyborg are going to be the weakest links.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to like them, but whatever. Like, why are they putting Cyborg on here? Why are they putting the Flash on here? I understand. Same reason they put him on for Smallville, because you need technology. It's the 21st century.
Yeah.
Same reason they add him to the new 52 Justice League
roster. Yeah.
You know, because it's technology. And I totally get that. I just hate that we lose a character like John Jones, Martian Manhunter. But at the same time, I understand why he's redundant. Especially if they're doing all these alien themes with Superman.
Yes.
Like, it's the same story, you know. And he's just more powerful than Superman. He's the most powerful being on the planet. Superman called him that, according to that episode of Supergirl, with Hank Henshaw, who was in the form of John Jones. It's so complicated.
Oh,
why are these secret identities in these shows?
Oh,
so, and the Vigilante is not Adrian Chase. Oh. He's somebody else. So, CW guys, there must be two. So, about Cyborg, right? He was, like, one of my favorite parts of the movie.
He was
like,
really
Ray
good.
Fisher was great. I mean, he had a presence to him, you
he
know?
He was really good.
And I really felt like his plight. And he's like, well, these are gifts. Why am I paying for them, you know?
Yeah.
And then, of course, his dad being Joe Morton.
Yes, it's
so
good.
He's, like, plays the bad size. Yeah, he plays it in Smallville. He plays it in Terminator 2.
Yep.
He plays it in Stealth. He was
in
Eureka.
Replace us all.
And then he's playing the same thing. Like, when he's leaving, like, I expect him, like, in the scene where he's leaving, like, I expect him to go look at the T-800 arm in the hallway before he went home. But you know, and he had a good role. He had a good couple scenes with the son, you know. And you know, I talked so much crap about the Cyborg spinoff movie. I'm like, who is going to see this? And I'm like, I would totally go see that tomorrow. Because I want to see him and Dr. Miles Dyson.
Yep.
And what is his dad's real name? Cyrus. Okay. So I would actually go see a Cyborg movie now. I know those are the two that I'm like, yeah, we're never going to get to the Cyborg movie, and we're never going to get to the Green Lantern movie. And we still won't, because Cyborg's been taking off the schedule and might get put back on. In fact, there might not be a schedule after this, but when we wrap it up at the end here, we'll talk about what we want to see next. But yeah, so I liked The Flash. I liked Cyborg. This was almost more Cyborg's story than anybody's.
Because
he was built of the mother box. You see him, like, become a hero and all that. And also The Flash. These two guys go on the hero's journey in this movie, and I think that's why I connect with them. And yeah, I don't know. I don't understand these reviewers who are like, this is the worst part. I'm like, how?
Yeah.
It's like the best part, one of the best parts. And
I think a lot of these people don't understand the background and the mythology and how these films are supposed to work.
But I think they distill them very well. I know a lot about DC Comics, but I don't know near as much as a lot of people. But, you know, I followed everything. And I think if you didn't know anything, you understand who all the characters were, what they could do, and, like, what their place was in the universe. And this movie, that's hard to do, you know, for not having their own movies. And so let's get back to The Flash. My favorite moments in this movie are all, like, The Flash and Superman. So they resurrect Superman, and we can get into that in detail in a minute, but... The scene where you know, Superman is owning the Justice League, which I love that scene. I love it when they let Superman be Superman instead of, like, they have to power him down so much to, like, to for the plot.
I'm surprised you like that because, you know, so it's evil Superman for a little
bit. I know. It's tough. It's tough because I'm like, I wanted to see him come back and kick everyone's ass. I'm like, they're going to bring him back, and he's going to be evil. And that is, apparently that was the original plan, right?
That's what I heard because a friend of my coworker, he's really into, you know, this stuff too, and he was saying that he
what a loser.
Yeah, what a loser. he was a big Smallville guy. Not Smallville. That's what we're talking about right now. Buffy the Vampire Slayer, which Josh Whedon did. Uh-huh. And when
Josh Whedon.
When Buffy was when Buffy was resurrected.
Christopher Reeves.
And Josh Whedon.
Whatever. Josh.
Josh Whedon brings back the Christopher Reeves Superman in this movie.
No, he was saying how in the Buffy show, when she's resurrected, mm-hmm. it was a very similar, they did a very similar thing where she came back, she was pulled from heaven, and she was very angry, confused at first. So that whole scene could have been him, especially with, there's some proof that the, you know, the CGI mustache in that scene. And
what I heard was and that's why, and we talked about this online a little bit after we'd seen it. All the main parts of that scene was Snyder, but the dialogue was Whedon.
Interesting.
And that makes sense because, like, that's the famous screenshot you see now on the internet of Henry Cavill's weird face is from that scene. And but all the other ones, his face looks kind of okay. But no, I can see that. And so, yeah, no, I know what you mean because I was like, they're going to bring him back. He's going to be evil just like it was in the nightmare sequence. It's like, can we have a real Superman, please? But they gave us just a little, just enough where you can see even Wonder Woman, who was, like, better than all these people. Like, he kicks her ass with no problem. Like, yes, that's Superman. Using all his powers, you know, it's like on Heroes where Peter Petrelli doesn't do anything. Like, dude, you could own all these people if you tried. And then when Batman shows up, I know you. It's like, do you bleed? I'm like, yes!
That was a great callback.
That was my favorite callback. I'm like, I thought it would, they totally, that is one of the most quoted things from the trailer. Mm-hmm. Because it was in the trailer, more than anything, people were like, do you bleed? For like a year, because the movie came out a year and a half after it was finished. And I love that. And he's like, the world needs you. He's like, but it doesn't need you. I was like, yes, Superman!
And the cool thing about Batman in this movie, you know, we talk about redemption and hope, was that he was willing to die multiple times. Mm-hmm. He even said, you know, well, what happens when Superman comes back? And he's like, I'm willing to, you know, deal with that. And he even said at one point, he's like, Superman's more human than me.
Yeah, he lived a life. Yeah, he fell in love. He got a job. I'm like, that's good. And all those scenes, that's all Joss Whedon.
You think because so?
I think when they go in that random room, that's like, all right, we got reshoots. What can we? We got some armor. You know, we got some Batman 89, man.
Bought it in Japan.
King of the Wicker people.
And then the one scene at the end when, you know, he's having all the parademons chase him. Yeah. Initially, his plan was just to lure them, and they're like, "Is he trying to get himself killed?"
Mm-hmm. Well, no. Well, they see that, and then that's the thing, because like he was, you know, as Cyborg was saying, he's like, "Well, why are you being an asshole over there?" You know, I did this, which I thought was good. Yeah. But like, I think like because that's the thing, like with Batman, it's like it's that weird line because like I hate when Batman is characterized as Bat God, and we can like and he can do like when he can do anything. It's like no, he's still a human. Like, and you have to show him like you have to show what he goes through to be Batman, and so people can like see the human in him. Like when Wonder Woman, like she sees him trying to like, you know, take off his armor, and like she sees like, oh well, this is just like she realizes this is just a dude doing all this stuff. That's impressive. And then she lowers her guard.
Now that's impressive.
And thank you, Riddler. so that's when like they can connect finally. Like, well, again, after he was like, you know, a dick to her about, but. You know,
I love that, though. I love that scene where he was like, Steve Trevor tell you that? He didn't.
Yeah, I know, right?
No, he didn't.
But the thing is, as he said, he's not wrong. He wasn't wrong in saying that.
Because that's what I was thinking. Like, where the hell have you been for 100 years?
Yeah.
But did you like the retcon, though? She was like, I always fought when I was needed. I just never, I'm like, oh, he's setting up those Wonder Woman sequels. Because this is going to become the Wonder Woman extended universe.
Yes, it is. Yes. He was willing to, like, the team saw that he was like, oh, there's more to this guy than what we may have originally thought, and that's why the Justice League trusts and needs Batman. They see it there in that moment,
and they did a good job too of like you said, he's not Bat God, he's just a guy.
Yeah,
I mean, they show humanity. They show also you notice he never goes up against Steppenwolf.
Yes,
no, well, yeah, this movie, and we've laughed. I remember Batman and Superman laughing because he's running around like with a gun. I'm like, well, he needs to be.
Yeah,
Doomsday would crush you.
Yes,
because in the comics sometimes he like stares down Darkseid. I'm like, no. I find it ironic. He literally all these movies, he has a gun. He has the kryptonite gun. He has
the laser guns.
Yeah.
Well, he picked those off from the parademons. Yeah. So that's,
but it's just
that's...
Batman shooting people running around. Yep. Taking. I like how he was overwhelmed. And it was like, oh, Alfred, I need the fire. You know,
yeah.
I need the Nightcrawler. I need the big guns. Yeah. You know, thank God. it was Lois Lane and not Martha. Can you imagine?
Oh my god,
that would have like
that was, you know, watch. It was probably the original plan. That
it was like, oh, it's gonna be Lois because you said the big guns, right? Yeah. It was gonna be Lois and Martha, and Joss Whedon was like,
I don't know. About
I don't know. That's pure speculation.
Yeah,
but they try to keep finding ways to get Amy Adams and Diane Lane in these movies, and I understand why. They're great actresses. I joke with Lance. I'm like, so which one of them is supposed to be older? I love. I know. Like Amy Adams, it's a great actress. She's cute, but in Arrival, spoilers. Have you seen Arrival?
No.
Yeah.
All right. I'm gonna spoil it for it's you, fine. Sort of, Lance. I'm not gonna. Okay, you'll know what I'm talking about, Demonte. She's the only actress you can get away with. Like, oh, are these flashbacks or flash forwards?
Yeah, no.
You know exactly what I mean. Anyway. I joke about that. Well, no, they're only 10 years apart. That's the thing. Cavill and Man of Steel, like, he was 28.
Mm-hmm.
Amy Adams was 38. And Diane Lane was, like, 48 or yeah. something like that. So it was, that's where all that comes from. So I'm just joking, guys. She was on Smallville. We're all part of the Smallville family here. One of the worst episodes. Dr. Hamilton's premiere episode, I might add.
Yep.
Joe Morton. But
all ties together.
I really liked, speaking of that, I really liked how they, in the trailers, they tricked you. They did the opposite of Batman v Superman. Like, here's everything in the movie. Hmm. Just figure it out. You don't need to go see it now. They made you think that Clark in the field was a dream.
Yeah.
And I'm like, because that's, okay. These movies have established that stuff happens. Yes. And Man of Steel, he has the dreams. He sees his dad for some reason in Batman v Superman. But then we see her, like, wake up. I'm like, oh, that's a dream. But that's a clever way to show Superman. But it wasn't. It was actually him back from the dead.
Yeah.
And I was like, that is really smart. So good job, trailer department. You deserve a raise. Of course, they cut out all these little things. Like, he's like, I take that as a yes, the ring. I'm like, why did you do that? Because the mandate came from the head of Warner Bros. We got to get it under 2 hours.
They also cut out in the trailers a scene where Alfred's like, it took you long enough to get here or something. And then
let's hope it's not too late.
Yeah, that. And then there's another one where you see Cyborg walking, and there's like a cop car flying behind him. I think that was cut out too.
Yeah, well, there's a lot. I mean, if you go online, there's so many. I haven't dug in all these articles yet. But it's like these breakdowns of like what was in it, what wasn't, what's going to be in the ultimate edition.
Let's go. Time to go save the world. Where Wonder Woman says, like, when they show up, that's that was cut out. Like,
shall we? And then Bruce Wayne's like, I'm real, but it's useful. I don't know. Some of those lines, they cut out Wonder Woman's reaction shot. This is such a nerdy thing to point out, but like when Barry's like, oh, it's back signal, we gotta go.
Mm-hmm.
And Bruce's like, yeah, that's what that means. And they show Wonder Woman, she like smiles at him. I'm like, that was a very cute shot of Gal Gadot. You cut it out of the movie. How dare you?
And also when they have all them standing there and like.
That was pure like trailer shot.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And then, of course, they did it again at the actual end of the movie. But so, yeah, I mean, that's the run. Wonder Woman was great, and they reestablished her character, and you could see Paradise Island again.
Mm-hmm.
There was a definite different look to Paradise Island because of Zack Snyder. I think honestly, I thought they were a little more glammed up, the Amazons. They just looked that way to me. But I saw a lot of more criticism about it. I don't really care. But I didn't notice there was a difference there.
I didn't think they were glammed up. I think the actresses they chose were in better shape. It's not like they weren't. They were like a different look. If you notice, like in
I couldn't put that finger on it, but it was a different look.
In the Amazonians and Wonder Woman, they were more like strong. This one, they were more like cut. If that makes
like
any sense,
like yeah, swimmers more instead like, of bodybuilders.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. That's what it seemed like in this one.
And it was, you know, it was 100 years. So of course they don't change. Like, what's up with the Amazons? So like, we're gonna fight Steppenwolf with these bows and arrows. He has a freaking lava axe. So that's one. I mean, she's great. I'll go see every movie she's in as Wonder Woman, and that's all we're going to get after this, I think. Affleck was good again. There were some people said he was checked out, but no, I think that goes with the character. He's tired. He's old. He's done it for 20 years.
Yeah.
Like, that's going to be the biggest thing I'm going to be so upset about is if we don't get a standalone Ben Affleck Batman movie.
Yeah, it looks like we're not.
I want J. Jonah Jameson and Jim Gordon. He was great. Parker! And I want the Danny Elfman Batman theme, and I want Ben Affleck as Batman, and we're not going to get it. And I swear to God, if they cast Jake Gyllenhaal, that's terrible. Like he would be a great Joker. He's who I wanted as the Joker. If you see Nightcrawler, definitely go see that. There's a great GIF for Jif. I always pronounce it the wrong way. But if him like laughing at the camera from Nightcrawler, that's the Joker right there. He'd be great as the Joker. He'd be great as a lot of comic characters, but not as Batman. So I don't even want to think about it. I hate that we haven't even had this conversation about recasting and all this crap.
Well, yep. I don't mind if they're gonna do a like prequel earlier before he became, you know, the old jaded Bruce Wayne. I don't care if they do that and they recast, but just choose the right actor.
That's fine. Yeah. Recast backwards. Get Ben Affleck back for another one, like Justice League 2 or whatever. Prequel trilogy is fine, but yeah, don't be like, here's the next movie with freaking, oh yeah, it's Val Kilmer instead of Michael Keaton. Like, we've been down that road before. So he was good, you know? But yeah, no, so seriously, my favorite scene of the whole movie was when Superman comes back from the dead and he's kicking everybody's ass because I love it. And when the Flash is running around him, and he's like, oh, I'm going to get him. And then you see his eye, and you see him turn, and you see the Flash. He's like, oh, no. Because he's never experienced somebody as fast as him before. And that was amazing. And then he's dodging him and all that stuff. And I love that. So just that whole scene, that was my favorite scene in the movie. What are you guys' favorite scene? What's your favorite? If you had to pick one, Lance, if you had to pick a favorite scene.
Pick a favorite scene.
When it was over.
No.
That's Krause.
Krause is not here.
That is Krause, who's not here.
He's not here. Jimmy Olsen got some time though.
So he can finally get...
His obsession, Krause, your obsession with Jimmy Olsen is so amazing.
It's so funny.
Well, you know, Jimmy Olsen, as you think about that, Lance, Jimmy Olsen was the cop. He was in that cyborg scene where the tank falls on him. Yeah, and we saw that in the trailer. Yeah. But I guess he either had two scenes and one of them got cut, or they like, hey, Jimmy, or Mark McClure, because I do know your real name. We cut your scene, but we'll put you in this other scene when the Flash is in jail, right? So,
yeah. I think probably my favorite scene was Bruce and Diana talking after she puts his shoulder back in place.
That was a good bonding moment.
Yeah, it's probably my favorite scene.
That's a great scene, and like I said, I really loved the Bruce Wayne recruitment scene with Arthur Curry. Mm-hmm. I thought that was great. And then the funny thing about it is a little complaint: how reckless he is with his identity.
Yes.
He's just, the whole movie, he's walking around without mask on, people calling him Bruce Wayne, Batman in front of all
You're out of your mind, Bruce Wayne, Batman.
Yeah, he's so reckless with it.
Is it the first scene, he's talking to Alfred, and there's a criminal right
now. Yeah.
It's not even just him. Like, you know, like when Superman shows up, there's just two cops who like have guns like pointed right at him. Well, and Lois shows up, she's like, Clark! It's just like, what are you doing?
Let's talk about Clark for a second. At the very end, this is obviously a reshoot. You know, Joss Whedon made this little... We finally got a shirt rip scene.
Yeah.
And then he took off up, up, and away. Explain how Clark Kent's going to come back into this universe. Any thoughts?
That's a great question.
There's no Martian Manhunter to, like, shapeshift into him and be like, hey, look,
I was on vacation.
Well, see, because in The Death of Superman, they acted like, oh, he was trapped under some rubble, and he lived, in a basement for a while, and we had the Matrix Supergirl who could shapeshift. He turned into... Superman.
Yeah.
It's just comics are so stupid. But anyway, that proved it. Hey, look, and I thought, you know what? And this is jump ahead to Smallville. I thought, okay, we got Martian Manhunter in Smallville, right? It's the last show of Smallville. They're going to have Superman come out. And then Clark Kent's going to walk off. I'm like, hey, we look a lot alike. Isn't that funny? And he's going to walk off and it's going to turn to, you know, John Jones, Phil Morris, Jackie Childs, that's who.
Who told him to put bomb on? I didn't tell him to put bomb on.
That would have been great. But anyway, they didn't do that. So, I thought when Lois was at the desk, that Clark was going to come in and sit next to her. But no, it just didn't.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think we're going to get another Superman movie. I would love one because now we finally have the real Superman back. But how do you explain that away?
You just say, I mean, his identity is out there.
Clark Kent is Superman.
Yeah.
I don't know. That works for some heroes.
Yeah, but I don't think it works.
Not for Superman, because there's
this film was very jump. I mean, the universe has jumped so many things already. You know, Death of Superman already happened. You know.
Yeah, I don't know. I have to think about that one.
Yeah,
but we won't have to worry about it because I'm sure we're never going to get a Man of Steel 2. What do you think of Superman's face?
His face? What do you mean, like the CGI?
At the beginning, CGI mustache.
That was hilarious.
It was hard to tell. Oh, you mean speaking of which, the opening scene I thought was great. It was a great way to establish the beginning of the film, how Superman was missed, the humanity of him. I thought that was great, that opening scene, the little cell phone with the little girl.
You know, it was a great scene, but I was too distracted.
Not a hippo. They're the most dangerous animal. That was
cute. I was too distracted by, the obvious,
That's the worst case.
Yeah.
And I don't understand, because it's low-res footage, so it should be easier to hide his mustache, you know?
Yeah.
But somehow it was even worse in that footage.
Yeah.
And then my friend Juan, who I went to the early screening with, shout out to you, Juan. He was like, oh, God, when he saw it, because it was so, because you heard all this stuff, like, oh, Henry Cavill's working on Mission Impossible. They won't let him shave his mustache. We're going to CGI it out. My solution would have been just have him have a beard. Like, Superman looks badass with a beard.
Yeah.
You see it in the Rebirth comics. Mm-hmm. You see it in the Hereafter episode of Justice League Unlimited where he gets transported to the future.
Oh, yeah, with Vandal Savage.
Great. And he looks badass with a beard. They should have just done that. And I know it wouldn't have been, the generic Superman, because we have to get the generic Superman back. And here's another thing. I was disappointed we didn't see the black suit.
Yeah.
So I think it was either cut or DC threw some disinformation out there, because there's a new era comes out with the hats, and they had the black hat, and it was coming out in relation to the film. And I saw online there was an explanation about it too. And the explanation basically explained how Superman gets brought back to life, but it's not in the film.
What's their explanation?
It was a rejuvenation from, I forgot what it was, but it was not what she saw in the film. And it said the suit had something to do with bringing him back. So either they did that on purpose to kind of throw people off, or that could have been changed in editing.
Hmm. There's going to be so much that was changed in editing. I think there was a black suit at some point. They must have.
Had to have been.
Because that's so, like, that's so part of the Death of Superman.
Yes.
And we never really, the closest we got was on Lois and Clark once, in like season 4. He has this black suit with a blue S on it. And then Smallville, he's around season 9. Yeah, but that's a little different. But anyway, yeah, I wanted to see that. But Superman's Resurrection, you know, using the Mother Box, I guess that was fine. I mean, again, that's a whole other mythology that you could have gone down with, like the reign of the Superman and Superboy Steel and Cyborg Superman.
The thing with the Flash helping to rejuvenate, do you think that was Josh Whedon? I think it was. I think he changed the Resurrection.
It seems so. Oh, he changed it somehow. I don't know how. Yeah. And we'll find out in time. One day. One day we'll find out.
Hopefully whenever the DVD comes out in the summer.
Yeah. In 3 months when the Ultimate Edition comes out. I think that because it seemed like, oh, we have to give it an electric charge, which is something they had established in a previous scene with the Flash, which got cut. Like, you see it in the trailer. He, like, shatters a window with his, you know, lightning powers.
Yeah.
I also didn't like how his lightning was blue, because the Flash TV show has trained me that blue lightning is bad. But why would they make it blue? Even in the comic books, it's always red. And
yeah.
Red, so I just, yellow, it yeah. seems like a, just a random choice, just for the hell of it. So I'm not.
They have to distance themselves from the CW versus.
But see, these are my problems. These my problems with this movie are so nitpicky, as opposed to Batman. Like, I can't believe that.
Jimmy Olsen, I cannot believe.
That's not even. I don't even go into it. I'm not going to dignify that with a conversation. But
love you, Krause.
Peace out,
Jimmy Olsen. So yeah, I mean, that, and Steppenwolf, got to talk about him. He, one of the best Marvel villains yet, I think. And
I mean, it's just a very generic villain. I know problems with a lot of people are just ragging on it. It's just a generic villain. The only thing that they could have done better is instead of CGI in his face, makeup.
Exactly. Yeah. Have a real person.
Like, they did have a real person.
Like Sirian Hines. I'm going to pronounce his name. He's a good actor. Just do the Lord of the Rings stuff or like a size replacement. You know, I'll have this stuff with CGI anyway. But when there's close-ups, just have a guy with makeup on him. It makes such a big difference. He looks like a World of Warcraft reject or something. Some scenes, you know, seeing it the second time, some scenes he actually looks pretty decent. But other scenes, he does look like a video game character.
Yeah, I didn't have that big of a problem with Steppenwolf. I mean, yeah, he was a generic villain, but... You know, it worked. It was fine. It was serviceable. I will say though, is that if they were just gone, like, you know, did the whole go big or go home thing, and this would have been Darkseid, like, this would be the greatest movie ever.
Well, again, they should have just done Darkseid.
Yeah,
because they might not get a chance to do Darkseid now, and now they look stupid. And again, he's a rock monster, basically. Like, if I had to describe him,
rock monster,
rock lobster from Family Guy.
We were at the beach.
Everybody had matching towels. Stupid. So he's real easy to do, I think, in CGI. As Smallville proved.
Oh, yeah.
Freaking Smallville did Darkseid before. Yes. Smallville did it first again. Very bad interpretation of Darkseid. But the build-up was good. Mm-hmm. But then, much like Smallville, it was the ultimate playoff at this point. But, yeah, just have him... Let's do an Ultimate Edition. Let's just CGI Darkseid over... Steppenwolf, and we'll just ADR people say Darkseid instead of Steppenwolf. He mentions Darkseid that once. He's like,
yes,
for Darkseid. Throw that in there. I mean, why? Because when Darkseid comes, it's going to be the same story.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like, he's going to come with the mother boxes and all that stuff, and the parademons. Like, so you just have to do it. You have to do it again.
Yeah. Or he can come and, like, and then they can introduce the new gods.
And they can make evil Superman, like, in the animated series. See, that's what I thought they were going to do.
Yeah.
Well, and the original, see... So, some of what you guys were talking about, you were talking about today. Originally, their plan was they were going to tie in that dream from Bruce or whatever, and he was going to somehow know that they were going to bring Superman back. It's like, oh, we got to bring him back first, and that was going to be like, you know, instead of just, you know what, I think we could use Superman itself. Let's resurrect him. Like, it's so arbitrary, you know. It's not, they had an actual reason to bring him back. So this version is better than this version. I think. Each version had pros and cons, and this is probably the best middle ground you can find. Much like Superman 2, you have the Richard Lester cut and the Richard Donner cut. And everybody waited 25 years for the Richard Donner cut, and it came out. I was like, ooh. Actually, I think some of the other stuff we thought was bad was actually better. And I think we'll find that out when we hopefully get to see the rest. But yeah, and he's just a stock Marvel villain.
Yeah.
He's probably the third best DC villain by default, considering all the other ones.
Mm-hmm.
And speaking of DC villains, let's talk about the post-credit scenes. Uh, uh, let's uh, let's go in reverse order. So the one that was actually, and again, I think, again, I want to say, you go back to Marvel, right? DC was like, we're not going to do post-credit scenes because that's what Marvel does. I'm like, okay, that's stupid, first of all, because Fox did it first as X-Men The Last Stand. Yeah. Let's not forget. But what did you think of the Justice League getting started?
I like the fact that there's going to be, you know, like, you know, a League of Legion of Doom.
Legion of Doom!
I still don't like Lex Luthor. I still don't like Jesse Eisenberg Luthor.
I like him.
At least he looks more like Lex Luthor now. He's got the suit. Yeah. He's bald. He's like on a yacht. I'm like, this is
surrounded
more like
by mercy and hope. Yeah, that was cool.
Mercy's dead. She was the girl from the Wolverine.
That's right.
Was she? Was it the same girl?
Emiko? I forget her name from the Wolverine.
Yuriko.
Sorry. Emiko is the main female lead in Godzilla King of the Monsters. Yeah. Anyway, that's where that comes from. Yeah. I was like, oh, Eisenberg. I thought we were going to get by without him. Like, I heard that he had done something and we heard it being cut. Yeah. And that's what I'm saying. These were not supposed to be post-credit scenes. And from what I read, there was a scene where Deathstroke breaks about an arc of it. They're like, okay, we're going to meet up later. And that was going to be like a tag at the end of the movie.
Okay.
But I think, yeah, post-credit scenes are great. They make you stay and watch the credits. One, you should, because all the people that spent hundreds of thousands of hours and all this hard work. Two, great music to listen to. And three, kind of puts an end cap on the going to the movies experience.
I'll start with the post-credit scene. I enjoyed it. And I was talking to Krauss about this. He's not here to really. He didn't like it because he was angry that.
Jimmy Olsen was not in the movie.
He said, oh, this just shows DC doesn't know what they're doing. They're just throwing this in here. What are they going to do with this? And I'm like, well, this was probably shot for the movie because we knew that Joe Manganiello
flashed off. I wouldn't want to fight me neither.
But whatever. I was thinking, I was like, well, if they don't use him in a Justice League, this sets him up for his own possible Deathstroke film if they do it. And I was thinking, too, what if this would be really dope, Suicide Squad 2,
no.
Amanda Waller hears of this team that Luthor's assembling and gets the Suicide Squad to stop him. That would be cool, I think. Suicide Squad versus the Injustice League? That'd be dope.
But I want to see the Justice League versus the Injustice League.
We're not going to see the Justice League again.
Oh, man. Yeah, Deathstroke's cool, but okay. When I first saw, okay, you see the scene and you see Luthor and they ripped off the deleted scene from Batman Forever where it's not Two-Face in his jail cell, it's somebody else. So I did that. And then you cut to like this silhouette of someone on a boat. I'm like, is that Deadpool?
you tell us Deathstroke. I remember in the theater, everyone went crazy.
He's talking about the average movie.
No, the average person. Oh, okay. People are like, is Deadpool in this? Is this a crossover? Because you see like the katana the ribbon. You're like, this is, and because Deadpool is a ripoff of Deathstroke. Yeah. Their last names are both Wilson.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm sure someone was like, is Deadpool? Is that Ryan Reynolds? Did he lose an eye in the last one? I'm sure some people thought it was Deadpool. I thought it was cool. I like Deathstroke a lot because of Arrow. Because Manu Bennett's a great Deathstroke.
He's perfect.
But I think Joe, what's his name, would be pretty good. He was almost cast as Superman, right?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Henry Cavill's much better.
Yeah, Henry Cavill's much better.
Better
looking. Joe Maginot has that broken Italian nose that I have, too. So that's why he wouldn't look like
Superman.
Are
you going to cosplay as Deathstroke now?
Oh, I probably
have an eye patch. Have an eye jacket, patch. You'll be fine.
There you go.
So that was cool. That is exactly what a post-credit scene needs to be. Yeah. And I feel like it's better than most of Marvel's post-credit scenes now.
Yeah.
Because what are they at these days, right?
Nothing. They haven't done anything.
They're just a bunch of wasted time.
Yeah.
I'll do it myself. I'm going to put on this glove, and I'll see you in 5 years. Jump that else. And have they had DC use Darkseid in this movie? They would have beat Marvel in the battles.
That's true.
So the other
they still may at this point.
He's not coming out to Infinity Gauntlet 2 or Infinity War 2.
Yep.
So the other scene was straight out of the comic book, Superman versus Flash. Yeah. That was a lot of fun, right?
That was a really good scene.
I think that was something that Josh Whedon added in, probably.
Jeff Jobs was like, put this in here, Josh. Okay. I'm going to call him Josh Whedon forever now. That's funny.
Chris Reeves
and Josh Whedon. Yeah, that's, of course, it's Smallville did it first. It was in the comic books a long time ago. But again, it's funny. Smallville was on for 10 years, and you see all these things. And I see, much like Batman v Superman, there's all these little elements that are like totally from Smallville that they use in the movie. And it's just funny. It's funny to see that, especially that. And I like Superman was like, oh, curious myself. Like he was so, when Superman came back to life.
He was more Superman here than he was in Man of Steel or BBS.
They went straight like 1930s Superman. Like, is this guy still bothering you? Now, Jeff Johns had built up this moment, like when Superman comes back, he's one of the greatest Superman moments ever. And I was like, oh, is this what you're talking about?
Him moving that whole building? That was pretty cool.
No.
That's why I think it was changed.
Well, no. So, but well, you could tell when he has the CGI face. Mm-hmm. That's Joss Whedon.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, as I understand, there's only like two or maybe three scenes that were Zack Snyder's Superman. Everything else is reshoots, which is like, what is this other movie? Much like Rogue One or Han Solo. Excuse me, Solo, a Star Wars movie. Garbage.
Maybe he was evil up until. Maybe he's fighting alongside Steppenwolf. Maybe that's what was changed, and that's why.
They so bring much in Martha, and that turns him around.
Yeah, there you go. But I need the big guy again.
I don't know, but it's I'm very interested to see just what it would be. But they kind of they almost overdo it with how like Truth and Justice is, but that's fine. That's fine. Slow poke, like, you know what? Fine. That's what Superman wanted. The transition makes no sense, but fine. I'll take it. What's I going to say about him though? I have something specific. Oh yeah, so the big scene that Jeff Johns is like, it's the best scene ever. Totally supposed to be like, Gerald, would you care to step outside for Superman 2? Wasn't the same. You know, he's like, I believe in truth and justice too. And here's my CGI face, my budget. And that's the one time or the, you hear the triumphant Superman, da da da. And they could have used more of that, I think, Dan Yelfa. But yeah, that was not the greatest Superman moment ever. Like, it was cool, but I think it could, I don't know if it was the way it was shot or not. Something was off about it. Like, the buildup wasn't quite there. It was trying to be that Superman 2 scene, and it wasn't, basically, in my opinion. But yeah, I mean, Superman's back. We had our Avenger shot of them at the end, right, where they're looking at the Earth. And, oh, that Russian family annoyed the crap out of me. That was such a Joss Whedon thing. Like, oh, look, we're going to follow this family. The whole, oh, look, she's got the bug spray. There's, like, so many scenes. And they're just small, but I'm like, I see what you're trying to do. You're trying to put a face on the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want that. Like, I don't care. Like, I find it very contrived. And then at the very end, when Flash was like, Zolieski, or whatever it is, he runs away. I'm like, good, we're done with him. But we're not! Because we got to come back to him again. We see a freaking flower. These alien flowers growing in freaking Russia. That was just another day. But again, if I get riled up and annoyed about these little things, that means the movie was good. Because I'm not like complaining about like, oh my God, Doomsday.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, you walk away from Justice League and I'm like, I want to see another one of these. Batman v Superman, you're like, guess I'm going to have to see another one of these. But this time I actually enjoyed it and enjoy the prospect of seeing more. So I'm going to say B+ for this one. It wasn't great. Like, I'm not, you know, crazy DC fanboy, but it's under 40% on Rotten Tomatoes, and that is ridiculous.
That's the most frustrating thing about how people are panning it. It's everything that people wanted. They complained the other ones were too serious, the tone was too dark. Cool, they give you a lighter, fun superhero movie. That thematically...
You won't let me live, you won't let me die.
Yeah, no. No, it thematically still kind of kept up with some of the themes in the other films, like kind of what Snyder was trying to do. They kept up with that, although, you know, these thematic films, but they made it more fun and lighthearted. So it's appeased, I think, people like me who like Snyder's vision, and then appeased the mainstream audiences and the critics by making it lighter and more fun. So it's like, I feel like at this point, people are just hating. They're like, oh, things at Warner Brothers are a mess. This movie sucks. You know what I mean? That's what I'm thinking it is. And people are just not thinking for themselves.
So what would you give it, Mike?
A B. B or B+.
All right.
And in retrospect, I would say Batman v Superman, B-. I still give it that high grade.
All right. It's clinging on to the Bs for you. I got you. I follow you. All right. I mean, what do you say, Lance?
B+.
B+. All right.
The more that I think about it, like, I like it a whole lot more. Because I saw it last night. Because, like, last night I was just like, I was so, like, wanting it to not suck. Like, because, like, because I don't know if I
want you to Phantom Menace yourself now.
Well, because the thing is, like, I don't know if I could, like, personally, I don't know if I could take it if this movie sucked, you know? Like, because, you know, like, Justice League, like, the concept of having this movie out is, like, something that, like, I never thought I would ever see in my lifetime. Like, because if we go back 10 years, I was like, this is unthinkable, you know? And, like, the best that we had was, like, you know, the animated Justice League cartoon, like, 10 years ago. And that's, like, still, like, you know, that's probably the best iteration of Justice League we'll ever get. But this was really good. And I'm very happy that it was.
So what would you like to see next from the DCEU?
That's a good question.
Green Lantern.
Properly done, yes. But I
was shocked there was no... I mean, yes, there was the flashback with Green Lantern. It was like 5,000 years ago. That was cool.
How cool Zeus is in there. Yeah. That was cool.
That was cool. I like that. But I was actually, when I heard there were two post-credit scenes, I was like, okay, one was going to be Green Lantern. Like, he's going to show up and be like, guys, there's Brainiac's coming or something, right? Yeah. I thought that's what he was going to be, but he wasn't. So I would want to see something Green Lantern related. John Stewart, Green Lantern.
Well, I have my own theories on Green Lantern. That could be its own different thing. But if we're going to introduce Green Lantern, like Green Lantern needs to come to Earth to warn them of something that's happening, because he is his, like,
Abin Sur needs to come to Earth.
That'd be great.
He's purple, so diversity.
Yeah, but that'd be fine. But like, that's how it would need to be. And like, if a warning of like Brainiac coming, or you know, or the Thanagarians, they could do something like that. Live action,
and then bring in Hawkman that way. Yeah,
That'd be fine. Because you can't do like a dark side thing right after.
Well, you can't. On the other side, you can't do another alien invasion because of the Thanagarians. But with the way they're setting it up, I would think that Justice League, like, if all money and critics aside, Justice League 2 would be in Justice League versus Justice League, mm-hmm. like Earthbound, and then Justice League 3 is Darkseid's back, and we have to, you know, we have to band together X2 X-Men United against Darkseid. So Lex Luthor fights with, you know, Superman to defeat Darkseid or something like that. So
kind of like the end of, you know, Justice League the animated series.
It's all been done. Yeah. It's all been done. What would you, other than the Batfleck film, which you all want to see? Which we're not going to see. What do you want to see, Mike? What do you want to see next?
Obviously, I mean, they're making the next Wonder Woman and the next Aquaman, which I'm looking forward to.
Shazam's coming.
Shazam 2, which they referenced him in the movie, I heard. When I go see it again, I think when on the back computer when he's looking up metahumans, his name's on there.
Billy Batson's
name's on there. Apparently, when I go back and watch it this week, I'll look for that. But in terms of looking forward, I mean, give us another Superman movie. There's no reason why they shouldn't make Man of Steel 2 after
No, they would have to explain why Clark Kent's still around, so they're fine.
It's not that hard. You can bullshit around it.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't know. Like you said, the things... Aquaman's coming out. Wonder Woman 2 has been greenlit. The Rock keeps acting like he's going to play Black Adam. I don't know when and where. He's been talking about it for years.
He has been talking about it for years.
That Shazam movie has been cast. It's coming out. But then after that, I mean, you can just...
Suicide Squad 2?
No, God, I don't want to see that garbage. No one does.
Could be good. It would be cool if Suicide Squad fought, like, the League of Shadows or something, bringing all these, No?
I just don't...
need to forget.
I want to Incredible Hulk that out of continuity. But then they brought back General Ross, which just blew my mind. Like, I thought you were ignoring this movie.
Yep.
I don't want to be reminded of Suicide Squad at all. I just want that to go away. But yeah, I laugh about like when you know DC a couple years ago announced like their slate. I was like, we're gonna look back at this and laugh, and we are, because they've already the Flash movie has been canceled. Flashpoint is
Flashpoint now. Yeah.
They're gonna use that to make Danny Duquette. God, what's his name? Walking Dead. Jeffrey Dean Morgan. Is Batman, right? In that movie, and then they're like, hey, we can just keep him as Batman since Ben Affleck's gonna leave. I hope he doesn't. There's so much talk behind the scenes. We don't know. But I hope Ben Affleck stays. I hope everybody stays. I hope they can keep making these movies. They just need to spend less money, make them right the first time around so they don't have to make them twice.
Yeah.
That way, they'll cost less and they'll profit more. It's a win-win when you do these things right. So, all these movies, like talking Joker, Harley movie, some Joker spinoff, Batgirl movie, Nightwing movie, all these theoretical movies, I think you put the pause button on them. I think what they finally learn is like, look, from Wonder Woman, because this movie was put into production like 2 weeks after Batman v Superman, there was no stopping the train.
Yeah.
But now Wonder Woman did really well. Hopefully Aquaman will do well, and they can see, like, look, if we just focus on one character at a time, make good movies, then maybe people will want to see them team up instead of being like, look, here's everybody, come see it. Yeah. I think that's the key to success for DC. And so, you know what? You got DC on TV. You know, it's hit or miss. DC and movies, or they're getting more hit than miss now. So it's a good time to be a DC fan, I think. It's unfortunate the culture out there, the critical culture that we have, has kind of soured the fun for everybody. I think that's sad. But, I mean, I enjoyed it. I mean, I don't know what else you would want from a Justice League.
Yeah, it's like, point. What else were people wanting from this film? They gave him everything.
It was the Dark Knight.
They're not getting that.
Yeah, you're not getting that. Well, then again, the Dark Knight was, the tone of that movie was darker than Batman or Superman, you could argue.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, so, you know, these people can't have it both ways. You can't say, oh, DC is not like Marvel, so it's going to suck. Then DC makes a movie that's, you know, the tonality is more like Marvel. And then you say, oh, well, it still sucks.
Yeah.
You can't.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Well, I'm looking forward to whatever comes out next, and which is Aquaman, which is next Christmas.
Well, I can't wait that long.
I know, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's crazy. Like we had Wonder Woman came out like 3 months ago.
Yeah. that's the next DC film, next Christmas.
And there's going to be like... There's going to be, like, two Fox X-Men movies and, like, at least two Marvel movies before then, so...
Shouldn't Aquaman come out in the summertime? It should be a good summertime movie. Makes you want to go swimming. So, when I was a kid, I used to swim in my pool, and I used to pretend to be Aquaman, and I would have these, like...
Did you get caught in the little soda can
No, I would.
Recycle.
I'd be pretending that the floats in the pool were missiles.
Little DeMonte would like throw him out of the pool. He's like, my man.
Yeah,
come in.
Yeah, all right. I want to Aquaman. You know the little bobblehead of the Riddler that Jim Carrey has in Man of Forever. He's like, I want a little bobblehead of Aquaman. He goes, yeah, my man. All right.
We should have like there needs to be a gif of him. Well, not a gif. There needs to be like a before after type of thing, like a comparison of my man's of Jason Momoa and Denzel Washington.
I know, right? We kind of had a thread on that on Twitter ourselves.
Yeah, that was pretty funny.
So that is funny. I didn't realize Denzel said that in so many movies.
Yeah.
So there you go, man. That's Justice League. So fun talking about it. You know, a lot more fun conversation than we have when we talk about Batman v Superman. If there is an Ultimate Edition that comes out, we'll try and go see it. And we'll talk about it then. I hope one comes out because, you know, I'm a DC guy and Batman v Superman Ultimate Edition was like an obligation. Like, well, hopefully this will be better. And this will be like, oh, cool. I want to see this alternate version of this movie I already like. So it's a win-win for everybody. But yeah, cool talking to you guys about it, of course. And so, DeMonte, if people want to find you online, man, where can they find you out there?
www.punkrockandufos.com. That's my cryptozoology and culture website. And also blog.cron.com/MIKED, where I write about music. And on Twitter, at my name, Mike DeMonte.
All right. We'll look for you there. What about you, Lance?
You can find me on Twitter, at Sir Lance Laster.
All right, as for me, you can find me personally on Twitter at MoronZach. That's MoronZach. He's laughing at me. MoronZach. See, people beat you, remember
that. It took me a while to catch on to
for
that.
For more on Zach. Idiot Zach. So you can find me at MoronZach, MoronZach, on Twitter. You can find me on Trek FM doing my other podcast, Standard Orbit. We're at Trek FM, where I talk about all the young and new and old and young and new and old and all that, all the adventures of Captain Kirk and the Enterprise over there. And also for the podcast itself, you can find us on Twitter at Always Smallville with wet S. You can find us on Facebook at Always Hold On to Smallville, and you can send us an email at alwaysmallville@gmail.com, once again with one S. Well, that's gonna do it for us today, but we'll be back next week talking about something else non-Smallville related or tangentially Smallville related. We'll figure it out. But like I said, guys, a new Smallville episode coverage will start of the year. But we're just doing some business, some other DC comics, Superman, Smallville-related business up until then. But until then, always hold on to Smallville.
Come together right now over me.
My man.
Yeah.